Colossians chapter 1, I want to leave with you this morning the verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness, being made mighty. That's our subject today. Paul has been praying that the saints at Colossae will live godly lives, that they will live God-honoring and God-glorifying lives. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that you might be fruitful in every good work, and that you might increase in your acquaintance with the Lord. So he wants them to be fruitful, to be godly. But Paul knows that such lives of fruitfulness and sincere piety cannot be lived in one's own ability. You can't live it in your own strength. We cannot walk worthy of the Lord with human resolve alone. It's impossible. The Savior made this clear to his apostles. And you will know that his apostles had 3 years of close proximity to Jesus Christ. They witnessed his miracles. They were personally taught by his lips. They marveled at the holy example that he daily set before them. And yet in the whole context of fruitfulness, the Lord had to say unto them that without me you can do nothing. You can't live as I live. You can't work as I worked. You're not able to be the fruitful vine without me. And you have to abide in me, and you have to draw from me that you may bring forth fruit. You can't do it in your own strength, the Lord said. And Paul was able to live the godly and obedient life. And Paul is an example, but he was not able to do it even in his own strength. He was one who walked worthy of the Lord. In fact, he could say, I can do all things. But he also added, I can only do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So even the Apostle Paul couldn't do it on his own. He needed the strength and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, while he prays for the Christians that they will be godly, he knows that they can only live godly through the Lord's enablement. And thus we have this prayer for them, that they may be strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power they need it. And he prays for it. He prayed a similar prayer for the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 16, a letter that was written at a similar time to the Colossians letter. He said to them in verse 16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, with might by his Spirit in the inner man. A while back, we saw that saints need filled with knowledge. The congregation, knowledge alone is not sufficient. It's not enough. You also need strengthened. Filled, yes, but also strengthened. And Paul puts the verb in a very interesting way. It is literally being made mighty. You need to be made mighty. if you're going to walk with God. You need to be made mighty if you're going to walk worthy. You need to be made mighty if you're going to live a life unto all pleasing, as we saw last week. You're going to be need to be made mighty to be fruitful and to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no ability to do these things without the Lord's strength. And he prays for it. He prays for this strengthening of the saints. What we're saying this morning is, child of God, is that the devil is too strong for you. You are no match for Satan. The wicked one is like a roaring lion. He is not only a strong one, he is a well-armed, strong one. And his weapons of his warfare are no mean and weak tools. His devices are powerful. Our sinless first parents, and they were sinless, they could not resist him. They hadn't got a fallen heart, but they could not resist him. They hadn't lived years in sin and stained their consciences dozens and dozens of times, and they still couldn't resist him. How are we going to resist him? How are we going to be able to overcome his devices? He is one who has deceived the whole world, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So don't underestimate his snares. Don't presume to war the Christian warfare in your own strength. Don't presume to do it. It's impossible. The whole world is arrayed against you. The forces of darkness you can never surmount by your own ability. You'll never overcome the world with wishful thinking and foolish presumption. Living godly in a fallen world with our remaining sin nature within us is beyond human ability. It's beyond human ability. The godly life is spiritual in nature. Like strange sheep, we are all prone to go on the opposite way. We will naturally stray and fail. And thus the apostle reminds us in another epistle, let him that thinketh he standeth, standing in your own strength, standing in your own resolve, standing in your own determination, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And many a saint, many a Christian home, and many also a Christian congregation have learned by hard and sad ways that godliness is not attained and certainly not maintained with human strength alone. The saint needs to be empowered. The child of God needs to be made mighty. And this prayer teaches us he can be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There are four things in the text. First of all, there is the source of the might. Then there is the extent of the might. Then there is the purpose of the might. And then lastly, there is the accompaniment with the might. The source of the might, first of all, strengthened with all might. The verb here doesn't come first in the Greek as it does in our English. Strengthened we have first, but that's not the first in the Greek. The verb comes later. Literally it is with all might, strengthened, made mighty. And so this with all might, this refers to the source. This refers to the reservoir of the strength that the Christian needs. This refers to the ocean that the child of God can draw from with all might, made mighty. Where is this all might found? Where is this reservoir contained from which the saints may draw? Well, clearly it's God, isn't it? It's God's power. That is why Paul prays for them, that God would empower them to live godly lives. He so much wants it. He so much desires it. And God, as it were, shares the power with his people. He gives them the ability. He provides for them the help. That includes the desires, the godly desires, the enabling to carry out and to live those godly desires. In the equivalent or parallel prayer for the Ephesians, Paul makes it known how God imparts that power. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. It's by the Spirit that this might comes. It's through the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important in the Christian life. That's why we must always endeavor not to grieve him or to quench him, and to pray often for the forgiveness of our sins and to show repentance. It is also stated where that power is given, where that power operates and works, that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's where you need it. There is an inner man. There's something more than our body. There's something more than your flesh and bones. There's you. There's your heart. There's your soul. And so we're talking about something here that is spiritual strength, not physical strength. A man can have poor physical strength, and yet he can be mighty in godliness and piety because in his inner man there's this might operating. And this is what Paul is praying for, that your inner man will be strengthened and made mighty. The inner man is the heart or the soul of a man. And to be strengthened in the inner man is to be endued with much grace, so that a man has spiritual abilities to discharge his spiritual duties and to resist the temptations and to overcome sin and to endure the trials and the persecutions and the hardships of life which knock our heart about. And we have to say that that's where the Spirit operates this power, in your heart, in your inner man. You know, the Lord is more interested in our inner man than he is in our body. Remember how God told Samuel, the man looked on the outward appearance. He was concerned about the outward appearance. But God says, I look on the heart. I'm concerned about the inner man. I don't want to see strong muscles and legs like a horse in a man. That's not my main concern. I'm not mainly concerned how fast a man can sprint or how mighty and strong he is to kick a football. My concern is is the spiritual strength of his heart, his character. I want my people to be strong there. Paul said our outward man perishes every day, but he says the inward man, there's that inner man again, the inner man is renewed day by day, he says. And you need this every day, child of God. You need to pray this every day. Strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, day by day, because you don't know what you're going to meet. You don't know what difficult trial you're going to face. You don't know what perverse person you're going to meet. Day by day, strengthened in the inner man. Remember how Peter exhorted that women shouldn't be too concerned about the outward adornment, the hair and the jewels and the clothes. Well, what did he say? The inward adornment of the heart. That's where God works. Remember how Paul prayed for the Romans, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." That's the power we're talking about, the power of the Holy Spirit. God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Remember Joseph? He had a strong inner man. God chose one who was godly to face what he faced. Not everybody could face Joseph's trials, but God chose well when he chose Joseph to go through them. The arms of his hands, the Bible says. The arms that held up those hands, that carried those hands through, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That was his secret. That was the secret in Potiphar's house. Why he didn't put a hand on her? That was the secret. His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That's the only way that'll keep these hands from sin. Whenever the Lord keeps your arms, by his strength. Remember how David said, "It's God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." Remember how he says in the day when I cried, "Thou answered me, Lord, and strengthened me with strength." Listen to it. "You strengthen me with strength in my soul." In my soul. That's where I needed it. Job said, "Will he plead against me with his great power?" No. There's no way. He's not that kind of God. But he would put strength, listen to it, in me. In me. In the inner man. He put it in me. And this is what Paul is praying for, that this all might. Remember how the apostle describes the men and women of faith? They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were out of weakness. They were made strong. Made strong. Waxed valiant because strengthened. Made strong. Went to the flames because they were made strong. Hid in caves and gave up their homes and allowed themselves to be displaced because they were made strong. They didn't compromise. They waxed valiant. Because they were made strong. Paul said, and he knows something about trials, I can tell you, for he had very, very many of them. "We never fainted," he says. "We never give up. Though our outward man perished every day," he says, "the inward man is renewed
strengthened with all might. It's God's might.
And so God says to us, he promises us the strength. That's not an avenue we're going to go down by any means, because there's a lot to cover this morning. But God does promise us strength. He says, fear thou not. Don't be dismayed. Don't give up. I'm your God, and I will strengthen thee. He'll strengthen you, child of God. He's promised it. You can expect it. God gives this power to his people. It's imparted to them as they pray, as they use the means of grace, as they read and hear the word and get out to God's house and just endeavor to use all the means at their disposal, that God may channel this strength into their souls. What does the Bible say? You have to seek it. Seek the Lord and his strength. Ask for it. Like Nehemiah did. Their hands were weakened from the work. It was getting tough. There was all kinds of opposition. Fear was flooding into their hearts. What did the man of God do? He said, now God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. Only God can do it. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength, so that even the youth shall faint and be weary, and all the young men shall fall. But God's people who wait upon him, that's what you have to do. You have to be waiting upon him. The waiters upon God will have their strength renewed. Oh, such strength as shall overcome all the gravity that ever exists, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Overcomers through the strength that is provided in waiting upon God. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. The extent of this might, secondly, two things set forth the nature and the extent of the available power that can strengthen and fortify God's people. First of all, the word all. It's all might that is available. The source is not ordinary. It's not just a little power cell, but it's all might. Because that's what God is. He is almighty, and he has all might. Paul likes this word all. It occurs twice in this verse, actually. Over 30 times in the epistle. You should study it. It means full power. Full might. Power to the highest degree. Divine power. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. He has this all might. All power is given unto me, he says. The next thing that sets forth the extent of the might is the expression, according to his glorious power. So it's not only all might, but it's divinely glorious power. That's a supply for you. Glorious power. Literally, it is the power of his glory. Congregation, God's power is awesome. It manifests his glory, his power. Creation reveals something of that power. Providence every day manifests that power. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, did we not, where that power, that glorious power, raised Christ from the dead. That's what the power of God can do. It's glorious. Does glorious things. And he shows himself glorious through the power of his right hand. And the end of the world and the resurrection from the dead and the final judgment will all show how glorious it is. How did they sing that Old Testament hymn as they came out of Egypt? Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. I think Paul must have that in mind when he says that. He talks about the redemption later on in the chapter. He talks about this deliverance, this translation out of a dark kingdom by the power of God. And he probably has in mind that hymn of praise as they come out. He has become glorious in power. And thy right hand, O God, has dashed in pieces the enemy. What did the psalmist pray for concerning this power? Lord, to see thy power and thy glory. The glory of your power. It's glorious power. That's the extent of it. There's no shortage. There is no difficulty so great for you that the Lord cannot empower you to cope with it and to get through it. Even if that power doesn't remove it in the inner man, doesn't work outside there. He doesn't always move his hand just to put it all out of the way. No, that's not how God works. He works in here so that you cope with it. That's how he works. The purpose of the might. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. And this is the purpose of it. Unto all patience and long-suffering. The power and enablement from God is especially needed in two areas of the Christian life. In the area of what our translators have called patience and long-suffering. That's what you have to be made strong to be. Patient and long-suffering. Now, they're not quite the same things, as we shall see, but those two things are needed from God. If the saint is going to walk worthy of the Lord, he's going to need patience and long-suffering. If he's going to be all-pleasing, an all-pleasing believer in an all-pleasing life, he's going to need patience and long-suffering. If he's going to be fruitful, he's going to need patience and long-suffering. If he's going to grow an acquaintance with God, he's going to need patience and long-suffering. Those are the areas where you are going to have to be strengthened. Paul knows how to pray. These things are not easy. It's not easy going uphill. And living the godly life is an uphill struggle. To live godly in Christ Jesus is hard. Not only is it against the tide, it takes time. It's a slow course. Walking takes time. Getting from A to B like lightning doesn't happen in the Christian life. The progress is slow. And it is beset with many difficulties and much opposition. Fruit bearing takes time. You know, you plant a seed, you don't have an apple tree and an orchard overnight. And the elements may work against that field, so you mightn't even have an orchard at all. The farmer tells you it takes time, takes patience and long suffering. Increasing in knowledge takes time to get to know someone. It takes time to get to know the Lord. And the two areas where you're going to have to be strengthened more than in any other area in your life is in these areas of patience and long-suffering. As to patience, it means steadfastness, constancy. Endurance is a good word You need the grace of endurance. You need to be strengthened to endure. It implies there'll be opposition. Because if there's not opposition, you don't have to endure. If it's not uphill, you don't have to endure. If there's not gravity against you, you don't have to endure. But there is opposition. There are difficulties. There are things that will come to cause us to swerve from the walk and from the way. There are things that will come into our life to divert us, to derail us. There are things that will make you to stop praying. There are things that will make you to stop trusting God. There are things that will cause you to be poorly disciplined in your godly life. It's all against you. And you need that grace that will enable you to resist giving up, stopping, going back. And only God's might can give us the grace of endurance. To keep at it, to keep praying, to keep reading your Bible, to keep going to the meetings, to keep getting out to the prayer meeting, the endurance, to keep maintaining the charitable deeds against all discouragement, to maintain your communication with saints, however the difficulties, to endure, the ability not to be put off, not to be daunted by the difficulties, by the trials, by the temptations and the snares, by the hard times. You will observe the word all again. It's not just ordinary patience you need. You need all patience. You need it all. Some patience is not enough. Every situation demands it. Every difficulty requires it. And therefore, all patience is needed. This man of God knows how to pray, I can tell you. Long-suffering. Now, we might think that long-suffering is the same as patience. They're not the same thing. There's a subtle difference. Patience, our endurance, is more to do with hard or difficult times. But long-suffering is to do with hard and difficult people. That's the difference. Long-suffering is to do with interaction with perverse people. Whereas endurance is to do with trials and difficulties and just situations and things, you know, in life. People may be involved in those things, of course, but there are those situations where people are difficult. People may bear us an ill. And that is a great discouragement to godliness. And people can give you a hard time, and that's one of the greatest discouragements to godliness. It is. And the devil knows how to derail people from the walk, and he surrounds them with perverse and difficult people. One thing that affects piety terribly badly is anger and bitterness and resentment. And I have to say, child of God, if you get that into your life, resentment, anger, bitterness, it'll affect you in all four areas of godliness. Walking worthy, all pleasing, fruitfulness, and getting to know God. Paul is so wise here. He's a very experienced and practical and a very discerning Christian. He is expert in Christian progress. He knows what derails saints. And he knows that God's people are going to be surrounded by the devil with difficult and trying and even hurtful people. And it will be impossible to maintain a godly life unless you're strengthened. A Christian twisted by anger and resentment
isn't progressing. And you can see he isn't progressing. A saint who has a perpetual chip on his shoulder or a bee in his cap, you notice it. That Christian isn't all pleasing anymore. That Christian has lost the sweetness. That Christian has become so hurt and yet has not had the inner strength from the Holy Spirit that the chip on the shoulder has left a deformity in the Christian experience. People see it. And such a Christian, in actual fact, rather than being all pleasing, just turns people off. It's sad, really, isn't it? It could be any one of us. It may even be that we are Christians filled with resentment. This is what we need. This might, this strength, this glorious power to make us long-suffering. We need strength not to get upset by perverse and difficult people. Endurance and long-suffering. These are the hallmarks of saints receiving the divine strength. Such saints Paul desires. Loyal Christians. And thus he prays, you need to be strengthened. I know how it's going to come into your church. I know the things you're going to face. I know what the devil's going to bring along. And I'm praying that you'll be strengthened with all the might in your inner man, so that you will have this endurance and the long suffering no matter what comes or who comes. Lastly, the accompaniment with the mate. Something interesting is added by the apostle at the end. He might have left it out, but it's so important. He dare not, and he won't, and he's praying for it. Paul prayed for the Colossians that they may have this joyfulness. Joyfulness. You see, Paul realized the importance of joyfulness in the Christian life. Joyfulness is important to godliness and to walking worthy and to being a pleasing believer, having a sweetness in your life that even the ungodly see. And we call that sweetness joyfulness. It's very important. Paul knows it. Congregation, that's the oil that greases everything up. Makes it all to run smoothly, however noisy the machinery, however difficult all the moving parts, there's not the grinding. Because there's the joyfulness. Joyfulness makes it all so much easier. The might that God imparts is accompanied with this. And that's how you know it's the Holy Spirit's might. And that's how you know it's in the inner man. Has this grace. Joyfulness. It's so vital an ingredient. In fact, it's so vital an ingredient. What does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your very strength. It's the strength that you need. And the strengthening that Paul prays for includes this, not only strengthened with might, but strengthened with joyfulness. Remember Paul and Silas? They had been whipped, harshly treated, thrown into the dark dungeon, chained, made secure amongst all the hard criminals in the Philippi prison. What did they do? They sang praises unto God.
Remember the early believers? They were whipped, scourged, and told, don't you be preaching Jesus anymore. What does the Bible say? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Just so happy. This strength enables you to rejoice in tribulation, to endure it manfully, not to run away from it, not to, as it were, do wrong and get outside the will of God in an endeavor to cope with it. No. What does the Bible say? They counted joyfully the spoiling of their goods. What did James say? My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Joyless Christians are not being strengthened as they might. Things are just not running smoothly. And thus they need to pray more, this prayer. Well, we'll leave it there. Let us seek the Lord. Bless thy word, Lord. Encourage thy poor, feeble flock through it. And build them up and strengthen them by the grace of thy Holy Spirit. Strengthen us all. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.